Sing to the glory of his name. Offer him glory and praise. Let us pray. God of resurrection and new life, with glad and grateful hearts we praise your holy name. In this Easter season you gather us as your people, assuring us of your presence among us and calling us to share in the life of your risen Son. As we have sung, let us build a house where love can dwell. Make us into that house, a place where all are welcomed. Your love is shared, and your peace is known by all. Gracious God, we confess that we do not always live as Easter people. We cling to what is past, old wounds, old fears, and old habits, and resist the new life you offer. We turn inward instead of outward in love. We fail to recognize Christ in the stranger and the outcast, and we neglect the gentle prompting of your Spirit. Forgive us, renew us, and restore us, that we may walk in your ways and live as people of hope, faith, and love. Living God, draw near to us in this time of worship. Open our hearts to receive your truth, and our minds to your guidance. Let all that we do, our prayers, our praise, and our offering, bring glory to your name, and lead us closer to you and to one another. These things we humbly ask, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. First of all, a big thank you to Callum Wynne for organising last night's ceilidh in the parish halls. It was a great night altogether, a first-class band, and though I wasn't up on the floor myself, there was another minister who more than made up for that. Well done, Jake. There'll be a further time of fellowship here in the church following the service. Please do wait behind if you can for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit. Christian aid envelopes are available in both vestibules of the church today. Please do take one and return it in the course of the month. Alternatively, you can donate to Christian aid online. The Friends of St. Ninian's Cemetery will meet at the church on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. If you would like to find out about the work the Friends plan to do, then please do come along or speak to me. Articles for the summer edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by next Sunday, and submissions can be emailed to the email address on the intimation sheet or left in the McMichael Chapel. Jake and I will be at the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in Edinburgh from Friday to Monday next weekend, so please do remember the General Assembly in your prayers. And the service here next Sunday will be conducted by the Reverend Helen Cook. A reminder that there will be a meeting of the Kirk Sessions of Holyrood Viewfield Park Church and St. Ninian's Old in the parish halls on Tuesday, the 19th of May at 7 p.m. Now, before I hand over to Jake to do the all-age talk, just for the benefit of those who are visitors, Jake is here from America and he's doing a familiarization placement with me. He came at the beginning of September, and he'll be here until September this year. He's learning about the work of a parish minister within the Church of Scotland, and he's doing exceptionally well. I was working on his final report the other day, so not to give anything away, but is passed. We've just got to get the official word, and that will come in June. But he's doing very well indeed. So it gives me pleasure to hand over to Jake. Is he? Yes, you can try that mic. I'm getting positive signs, and I'll get this one off.
All right, we'll see. Hey, there I have sound. Wonderful. Oh, thank you very much for those kind words, Gary. I'll feel a lot better when that final review is passed by the people in Edinburgh. So if there are any children who would like to come forward, well, I'm going to gather around the font for our all-age talk. I see some heads shaking. I don't know that strange man up there. I'm not going to come up. But anyone who would like to come forward, even if it's just one. Anybody, anybody? All right. Any older adult? You don't have to be a kid, but so let me ask. I'll ask you. You don't have to answer all the questions. You're the only one up here, so I won't just force you. So anyone who likes to swim, put your hand up. Anybody? A few swimmers in here. So where are some of the places where you like to swim?
Portobello.
Portobello. All right. I don't even know where that is. I know it's a mushroom. Other places, where do you like to swim? Do you like to swim? Where do you like to swim? The peak. So inside in a nice warm pool, right? Well, my family and I went out to Aberdour, did I say that correct? This past Monday on the school holiday, we swam in the Firth of Forth, and I'll tell you, it was cold. But it was very refreshing. So there's water in here. Do you think you could swim in here? Well, there's water, right? So there's, I prove it, there's some water in here. So, yeah, there's not quite enough water in there to swim. But do you think you could be, like, immersed in that water? You could cover yourself in the water? No, there's still not quite enough. So you're safe, Charlie. We're not going to immerse you in this water. So we're up here around the font, and I'm pointing out the font because we have a baptism today, a wonderful baptism. And the word baptism actually comes from an old Greek word, and that Greek word is baptizo. You say that with me? Baptizo. Now, who has a guess at what the word baptizo really means? Anybody have any guesses? So you tell us. I think I heard that. That's good. I'm going to. You're a step ahead of me. So the word baptizo actually means to immerse or submerge. So it might seem strange that we have this tiny amount of water up here that you can't really immerse yourself or submerge yourself in, but we can still do a baptism, because when we talk about being immersed or submerged in baptism, we're not just talking about the water. The water is part of it, but you're really immersed into the community of faith. When you're baptized, you're immersed. Welcome. Come on up. So now you can see the water in there. So when you're baptized, you're immersed in the community of faith. That means wherever you go, whether Tyree or Isla or America or anywhere around the world where you find the community of faith and Christian people gathered, you are immersed. You're part of that community. And even more than that, that's a pretty good thing. Even more than that, when you're immersed in baptism, you're immersed or submerged into God's love. So you can know that no matter what, no matter what goes on in your life, no matter how far you go, where you go, who you are always covered in God's love. So as we watch Charlie be baptized in just a little bit, not this Charlie, and we see him be covered in that water, splashed on, remember how he is immersed in God's love. And remember, you know, your own baptisms if you were baptized, or if you just go for a swim or take a bath. Whenever you feel water, I want you just to remember how we are immersed in God's love when we are connected to that community of faith. So thank you both very much for coming up. Now we will sing together hymn 336, Christ is our light, hymn 336.
It is lovely to welcome Alistair and Sarah Jane and baby Charlie, and big brother Archie is over there. I saw him earlier this morning. It's lovely to welcome you and your family and friends here to the church today. Following Charlie's baptism, we'll sing the blessing, and you'll find the words at hymn 796. 796. In the sacrament of baptism, we celebrate what God in Christ Jesus has done for us, and we enter the new life which God, by the Holy Spirit, opens to us. Christ is present with us in the sacrament. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, and cleansing us from sin, he sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand it or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a little child. In baptism, Charlie is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit will be placed upon him. Alistair and Sarah Jane, in presenting your child for baptism, seeking that he may be united with Christ and become part of his church, do you receive and accept the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us pray. We praise you, Lord God of creation, for out of chaos and darkness you brought order and life. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for through your baptism of suffering, you have brought deliverance and hope. We praise you, Holy Spirit of Pentecost, for by your power and indwelling, you bring new birth and new life for us all. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that Charlie, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him in newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may he remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory for ever and ever. Amen. He's speaking away, eh? There you are now. Are you going to come? Oh, you told me it was heavy right enough. Eh? There you are. Charlie, is that right? Is that your name? Charlie William MacLean. A good, strong Scottish name. There you are now. Are you okay? Now, don't be anxious. It's all right. Eh? Charlie William MacLean, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, are you good? Eh? Are you good? We'll go a wee wander. Oh.
Oh, you're good, aren't you? Do you know some of these faces there? Hey, they'll be cousins and second cousins, eh? And they're just lovely. Oh, he's a good boy, hey? He's very good. There we are now. Well, we go over this way here, hey? The length of the walk depends on the behaviour of the child. I could walk forever with this one, eh? Eh? Of course, he's a splendid wee boy altogether. Eh? Just great. There you are now. There's the sound desk team. They're very important. Eh? Do you see that? There you are. Oh, you're good. There we are now. I'll give you back, will we? Eh? You've just been excellent altogether. Now, who are you going to? You're looking around, eh? Are you going to Mummy? Eh? There you are. Oh, isn't that just super altogether? I think that's one of the best behaved babies in all my ministry. Do you know that? Now, Charlie is now baptized into Jesus Christ, and we receive and welcome him as a member of Christ Church.
Alistair and Sarah Jane, your child now belongs to God in Christ. From this day, the Christian community is his home. He is immersed in it, and there will always be a place for him within it. You are witnesses of his baptism. Tell him of it and share with him the treasure that has been given to him this day, so that he might understand his baptism and, as he grows, make his own response in faith and in love. Do you then promise, God being your helper, to make your home a Christian home and to bring up your child in the faith of Christ and in the fellowship of the church? And friends, all those gathered here in this congregation today, and even those watching online, do you welcome Charlie, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way and to share with them the knowledge and the love of Christ? If so, answer, we do. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the miracle of birth and the wonder of a newborn child fashioned by your hand and bringing joy to so many. We thank you for Charlie, for all that stretches before him, the possibilities and the discoveries that you hold in store. And we thank you for the times we will share with him in the years to come. Almighty God, we thank you for the love that surrounds Charlie, the care of his parents, the support of family and friends, the prayers of this fellowship, and especially your own everlasting arms. And loving God, we pray for Alistair and Sarah Jane. Give them the wisdom and insight they need as they seek to bring up Charlie in a Christian home. And watch over Charlie that in every circumstance of life, he will know your love and find peace in your promise to be with him always. And we ask that in the fullness of time, he will respond to Jesus' call to follow him and declare before you and your people his faith and his trust in you. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and together we say the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, it's a great pleasure to present Charlie with this flower and this Good News Bible as a token of our love and an assurance of the prayers of the church family here, prayers that will follow Charlie all his days. And so we present these with our love and in the name of Jesus. There we are now. I would like to say this was from my own garden, but It's a wee bit early, but isn't that lovely? There you are. Will you take that? Isn't that lovely? Friends, let us welcome Charlie into the family of God. Now, following the singing of the next hymn, the children of the Sunday Club, and they're spread throughout the church here, will begin down to the hall. And visiting children are very welcome to go along as well. We realise it's quite long for children having to sit in the church, though I'm not preaching today, so maybe it'll be a shorter sermon. But visiting children are very welcome to go out just following the next hymn and go down to the hall, where I know a programme of activities has been prepared. We're going to sing the hymn 636, Baptized in Water, Sealed by the Spirit, and we're going to sing it to the tune Bonesen, named after the village of Bonesen on the island of Mull. There are many fine tunes associated with Tyree, but I'm not sure if any of them go with hymns that we sing from CH4. So, Bonesen and Mull, which, as the crow flies, is not all that far away from Tyree. So, we worship God, baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit.
The first reading comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31, and can be found on page 118 in the Pew Bible. Paul stood up in front of the city council and said, "I see that in every way you Athenians are very religious, for as I walked through your city, and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which is written, to an unknown God. That which you worship, then, even though you do not know it, is what I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by human hands. Nor does he need anything that we can supply by working for him, since it is he himself who gives life and breath and everything else to everyone. From one human being, he created all races on earth and made them live throughout the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of the places where they would live. He did so that they would look for him and perhaps find him as they felt about for him. Yet God is actually not far from any one of us. As someone has said, in him we live and move and exist. It is as some of your poets have said, we too are his children. Since we are God's children, we should not suppose that his nature is anything like an image of gold or silver or stone shaped by human art and skill. God has overlooked the times when people did not know him, but now he commands all of them, everywhere, to turn away from their evil ways, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge the whole world with justice by means of a man he has chosen. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising that man from death. The second reading comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, and can be found in the Pew Bible, page 93. Chapter 14, 15 to 21, the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me too. My Father will love those who love me. I too will love them and reveal myself to them. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Helen. We sing the hymn 522, 522, the church is whatever God's people are praising.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. These are the opening words of Jesus in our gospel reading today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, or you will obey my commands. Now, if you didn't know already that these were the words of Jesus, and if we hadn't just read them a minute ago from the gospel, you might think that this was something that was said by maybe an overly stern father or a controlling partner or perhaps a boss with an overdeveloped ego and a poor sense of boundaries. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I mean, let's face it, these are words that, at least on the surface, we wouldn't typically associate with a very healthy relationship. Just imagine for a moment saying this to your partner or your spouse. Now, I don't know about for you, but for me, I don't think that would go very well. Or imagine in the early days of a deepening relationship, saying those three special words to that person, I love you, and your beloved turns to you and says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, if that were to happen, I think my pastoral advice to you would be to quietly get up, leave, and go find a new beloved somewhere else. But yet here in our gospel, we hear these words from Jesus as he tells his disciples, his closest followers, his dearest friends, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, they seem like harsh and perhaps even borderline unhealthy words to say to someone. But as with any words or any quote or really any piece of scripture for that matter, we have to consider the source of those words and the context of those words. Or to put it another way, we have to look at who is saying what's being said as well as what's really being said in the first place. Or in this case, what's really being commanded in the first place. So first, as we consider these words, we look at the source, the who. Who is saying these words? And that one really, that question is easy. The answer is Jesus, as it often is. But our reading comes from an extended conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and it's a conversation that biblical scholars have named the Farewell Discourse, because this conversation that he's having took place on the night of Jesus's betrayal. And we'll touch a little more on that in a bit. But for now, let's just sit with the truth that it is Jesus who said these words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So in the United States today is Mother's Day. I know we celebrated it here a little while ago, but it brings me thoughts of my own mother on this day. And thinking of my mother, she was a truly wonderful woman who, along with my dad, raised five children, and we all seemed to get along pretty well still, so they did a good job. But in raising us five children, let's just say she gave us a lot of commandments. You know, take off your shoes when you enter the house, eat your vegetables, close the door when you come in, clean up after yourself after dinner, be home by 10 or 12 on the weekend, always wear sunscreen, practice your trombone, and don't pick on your sister, and many, many, many more. Now, there were plenty of commandments that my mother gave to us kids simply to keep our house and our family in a good functioning order. And I could very much imagine her saying to us these same words that Jesus said to his disciples. Kids, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But honestly, she's the only person I can imagine saying those words in a way that was not in any way controlling or manipulative or angry. And I think she could say those words because all the commands that she gave to her children were commands that were based in love. Now, granted, some of those commandments were just to keep the house in good order, you know, take off your shoes when you come in. But the vast majority of her commandments were meant to keep us safe, and even more so to help us grow into people who cared for others, who cared for the world, and who cared for ourselves. You know, she taught us commandments like treat everyone you meet with respect. Don't waste your worry, or don't waste your energy on worrying. You know, share the many gifts that God has given you with the world. So if you love me, you will keep my commandments, because my commandments are based in love. And I bring that up because looking at this commandment, these words of Jesus through the eyes of motherly love, begins to give us a sense of what Jesus is really telling us and his disciples. Our reading is from the Gospel of John, whose goal is to tell us who Jesus is so that we might come to believe. And John begins his gospel in telling us about Jesus and saying that in the beginning he was the Word, or beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on saying, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So Jesus came as the Word, and when he came, he brought life and light to all people. And then later John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And he gave him not to condemn the world, but so that the whole world might be saved through him. And then he says that Jesus came so that we might have life and life abundantly. And then just before where this farewell discourse begins in John's gospel, where our reading picks up, Jesus declares that he has not come to judge the world, but to save it. So what we get in John, what John is giving us, is a picture of a Jesus who has come not to control or to manipulate or judge, but we see a Jesus who has come to love us and love all creation with the love and care of a devoted mother, one whose commandments are meant to help us grow into the people who care for others and care for the world and care for ourselves, one whose commandments are not meant to restrict us, but rather they're meant to shape us into the people that God has created us to be. So John gives us this wonderful image of Jesus, and it's a Jesus who can say purely with only our best interest at heart, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, because my commandments are based in love. So that is the source of these words. So now we move to the context part, and the best way to get at the context of what Jesus is saying is to ask the question, well, you know, what are his commandments? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What are those commandments? And again, I think this is probably an easier question than most of us might think. You know, if you were to go out on the high street of Sterling here and ask people to name Jesus's commandments, I imagine you would get all sorts of different answers. Probably because when people think of the commands of Jesus, we probably sort of mingle them up in our minds with all sorts of other things. We mingle them with other commands in Scripture. We mingle them with commands of the church. Maybe we even mingle them with the commandments of our mothers. But in the general public, if we were to list the commands of Jesus, I imagine you would get answers including everything from loving your neighbor as yourself, which is an important thing that Jesus actually said, to, you know, don't drink, swear, gamble, or play rugby on a Sunday. Those are things Jesus never said. Surprisingly, right? So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, I think when we hear that, it can be a little bit intimidating or maybe even confusing, because depending on our background or on what we have heard or what we have not heard about Jesus' commandments, we can understand those things, those commandments, to mean a whole host of different things, some true and some not, some valuable and some not. But again, if we step back and look at the context in which Jesus is saying this, Jesus' commandments are actually fairly simple. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this, what he says is part of the farewell discourse. And just moments before our reading begins, Jesus has shared his final meal with his disciples. He's leaned down and washed their feet as an example and as a call to serve. And then he says to them, I give you all a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. So that commandment, the one that Jesus is calling his disciples and all those who love him to keep or to obey, is love. And just in case we're not fully convinced that this is at the core of all that we are called to do and be, John and Jesus make it abundantly clear. In John's gospel, the word love actually appears 57 times. That's more than all other three gospels combined. And here in the farewell discourse, in Jesus' final words, his final moments with his disciples, that word love appears 34 times. Those who love me will keep my word, he says, and the Father will love them. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Father, I ask, he prays, that they may become one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me will be in them." And then, as if to make it clear beyond any reasonable shadow of a doubt, Jesus says again, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I am giving you these commands so that you might love one another." So he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The source of those words is the one who came that we might have life and life abundantly. It's the one who loves us to the very end, who loves us to the cross. And the context of those words, the commandment that he's asking us to obey, is love. So really, on the one hand, it's fairly simple. But on the other hand, we have to say we all know that it probably isn't that simple, because love, we know, is not always an easy thing to do. We know that from experience, and we know it from life, that love is not just a passive feeling. It's not just words, but it's action. We know that love is not just a cheap sentiment or something you see on a greeting card, but love is found in costly engagement. You know, as we look around at the world, unfortunately, our world it tends to build a lot of capital on things like fear and hate and division. And we're warned of who to be afraid of, and are warned to be afraid of those who are different than us. We're told that those who think or act or believe differently than us might be a threat. You know, corporations and ads tell us about what we don't have, and they point out who might have more than we do. Politicians tell us who to be afraid of or who they will protect us from. And even religion has told us far too often who we need to keep away from or who we might need to change. And through history, we've too often defined ourselves by who we've kept out of our churches rather than by who we've invited in to our fellowship. And it's easy to fall into that trap, because hate is an easy thing. Fear is easy. Division is easy. Now, if we think about those things, you can hate at a distance, but you have to love up close. You can close your doors to fear, but love calls us to live with open hearts and open minds. Hate is cheap, but love, especially the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to, is costly. And Jesus knows that better than anyone else, which is why immediately after his command to love, he tells us and assures us that you don't have to do it alone. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he says, "and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." So we are not left alone, but we have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus here calls the advocate or the helper or the comforter. And the Greek word used here, not to get into the weeds, but the Greek word is parakletos, or paraclete, you sometimes hear. And it's a word that literally means one who is someone who is called alongside. So as we are called out of a life of fear and hate and division, and we are freed to live this courageous life of love, we are not left alone, because we have the Holy Spirit living and active in and through us. We have the Holy Spirit called alongside us to advocate for us, to help us, and to comfort us in this walk. So today is the beginning of Christian Aid Week, as you might have heard, and this is really what this week is all about. It's a wonderful example of living that life of love. It's about living out the commandments of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit to love one another and to love our neighbors. With the Spirit's help, we give, we pray, and as the church, we walk alongside one another, and we walk alongside those people who are living life on the margins. And even though, you know, we have this 1 week, 7 days, which is Christian Aid Week, it's certainly not limited to those 7 days. But every day, we are blessed and we are freed to live that kind of love in our lives. So may we be a people who know that extravagant love in our lives, a people who know the love of Christ in our lives, a love that is costly, a love that is constant, a love that is forgiving, and a love that is giving. May we know that love that never ends, and may we live boldly, following the command of Christ to share that love with all people. For it is as he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing together the hymn 362, "Heaven Shall Not Wait." And I believe Tony is going to play that through once before we begin singing. So hymn 362.
Our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, let us pray. Gracious God, in every age you have drawn near to your people, making yourself known in creation, and above all in Jesus Christ,
who promises that we are not abandoned, but held in your love through the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Paul proclaimed in Athens, you are not far from any one of us, for in you we live and move and have our being. Loving God, we thank you for your commandments. Help us not to see them as burdens, but as the way of love. And we pray for grace to keep Christ's word in lives marked by compassion and faithfulness. Generous God, at the beginning of Christian Aid Week, we remember before you all who struggle with poverty, drought, and famine. Strengthen those working to bring relief, dignity, and opportunity to communities in need. Bless the work of Christian Aid and all who give generously and speak courageously. Open our hearts to our neighbours near and far, that we may not simply sing of love, but live it. Caring God, we pray for your world, for places torn by war and violence, for refugees and all who feel forgotten. May the leaders of the nation seek wisdom, truth, and peace, and may your church bear witness to reconciliation and hope. Almighty God, as we pray for the worldwide church, we pray for the Church of Scotland, soon to meet in General Assembly. Bless the moderator designate, Gordon Kennedy, assembly officials and all commissioners. Guide their deliberations and bless your church in these days. Gracious God, we pray for those elected on Thursday to serve in the Scottish Parliament. Grant them integrity, wisdom, and humility in their work. May they not seek personal gain or party advantage alone, but rather the well-being of all the people they are called to serve, especially those whose voices are seldom heard. Loving God, we pray for those known personally to us who are in need today, the sick and the anxious, those facing uncertainty, the lonely and the bereaved. As a congregation, we remember in prayer the families and friends of Andrew Brown, Mary Hutchison, and Alison Dick. Grant comfort, O God, to the sorrowful, strength to the weary, and healing according to your will. And now, gracious God, as we give thanks for those dear to us who are at rest in your nearer presence, grant that we may love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and that we may love our neighbours as we love ourselves. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reminder of the invitation to wait behind for tea, coffee, juice, and a biscuit, if you can. It would be good to see you. We bring our time together to a close by singing the hymn 622, hymn 622, we sing a love that sets all people free.
Oh,
May the God of love fill your hearts with joy and peace. May Christ, our risen Saviour, walk beside you and strengthen you each day. May the Holy Spirit guide you in the way of truth. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.